But I mean, when you see set in the future year of 1997, you go, okay, this is probably going to be cheesy. Like, you know.
Black Market Toast podcast, where we take a piece of media out of the cupboard, dust it off, toast it up, and serve it as something completely new. This is episode number 79, and in this episode, we will be jumping off of John Carpenter's Escape from New York.
Yes. So, Escape from New York, I had no idea that, like, this was John Carpenter's passion project.
Yes.
Like, this is the movie he wanted to do, but couldn't get funding for until he made Halloween.
So he made some horror movies.
Right, so he made some horror movies.
To make the money.
Yeah, and then, like, this was his passion project, which is kind of cool in a way. Like, it's, I don't know, it's, to me, it's better than Halloween.
Which makes Escape from L.A. him shitting on his own passion project.
Well, no, because I think, if I remember correctly, it was Kurt Russell who really tried to, like, he's the one who pushed for Escape from L.A.
He was like,
I still want to be an action star.
I'm kind of a good actor, but everybody just knows me as Snake Plissken, so can I be that again?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, and he had done some other good movies, but yeah, I think he...
Even in Big Trouble in Little China, he was Snake.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't have the eye patch, but he was Snake.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, for, like, male actors especially, the money is in action movies.
Yeah.
So if you can establish yourself to be, like, an action movie star,
mm-hmm.
you can make shitty movies like Rampage and Doom and whatever the fuck The Rock is doing lately and still be the best paid actor in Hollywood. Because,
Jumanji.
The Jumanji reboot.
You mean Dwayne Johnson?
Yes.
Who looks identical to The Rock.
Yes.
That guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not his
Their brothers.
Dwayne the Paper
Johnson. Or Dwayne the Scissors.
Dwayne the Scissors Johnson.
Yes.
And then their alien cousin, Dwayne the Spock.
Dwayne the Bomb Johnson, who went out of style in the 90s.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, the money for male actors is doing these action movies. So I'm assuming that, like, Kurt Russell's like, if I can hit again, maybe I can be an action movie star. You know, parlay that into some other stuff. Escape from L.A. was not good.
No.
Plot was way too convoluted. But Escape from New York, excellent.
Yeah, and you saying that plot isn't convoluted?
It's not that convoluted. Dude, compared to Escape from L.A.,
right.
Escape from New York has a very straightforward plot. And
granted, that you could punch holes through the whole
thing. Oh, God, yes, of course you could.
Yeah.
But that doesn't matter.
Not even, you know, timeline... standing, you know.
Right. But like I said, I had no idea that, like, this was John Carpenter's passion project.
Uh-huh.
And it was co-written by Nick Castle, who is unknown except for the fact that he portrayed Michael Myers in Halloween.
Okay.
So he is the actor that played Michael Myers, which is kind of cool. It's got some symmetry. It ties in everything together.
A little bit of a stiff representation.
Yes. Hey, where did you go?
Yeah.
But
he was wearing a Shatner mask. So, you know.
Yeah. Which is funny. It is the whole William Shatner death mask is actually Michael Myers. Yeah.
Inside Out. Yes.
Yeah. But this movie I always enjoyed because it... like, as its own, like, standalone action movie, it's good.
Uh-huh.
But it also throws in elements of, like, 70s, like, blaxploitation action films.
Yeah.
And it's very much a B-movie, which I love.
And the fact that it's John Carpenter, it's obviously a John Carpenter movie because it's a John Carpenter 80 movie with the John Carpenter synth music.
Yes!
Yeah, John Carpenter does the music.
Yeah.
John Carpenter did all of the music for all of his films, and as soon as you hear that synth kick in, you know, oh, this is a John Carpenter movie.
Yeah, it is a calling card, albeit a bad
one. It wasn't until you got to, like, Vampires that it wasn't that. Yeah,
and actually, Escape from L.A., the best part about that film was the soundtrack, which had a lot of bands I liked on it. Not with their best songs.
Right.
They were all on there.
Yeah.
And Tori Amos, which is funny. odd, because I had the Escape from L.A. soundtrack.
Yeah.
You've got, like, Rob Zombie, Marilyn Manson, Clutch, Tori Amos.
Yeah. Well, and that was in the
the age of the soundtrack.
That's true.
Where you really,
it's true.
You really could get some really good music off of soundtracks, and that's where bands went to get discovered, and that's where you discovered new bands.
Right.
I mean,
right.
That was basically your sampler records.
Yeah. And I mean, and the cool thing, see, I watched Escape from LA first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it really,
just
timing. We're both very unfortunate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I watched it because these commercials, it was all this like sci-fi apocalyptic thing. Rob Zombie. If you ever watch the trailer, it's like Rob Zombie music in the background. And I was like, this movie's going to be awesome. And it was terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
But Escape from New York was fantastic. Like I said, it's very much, it's like, it had Isaac Hayes in it.
Yes,
which is phenomenal.
Yes.
Isaac Hayes as the Duke is great.
Isaac Hayes pre-Scientology or...
Pre-South Park.
Or at least preaching about Scientology.
Yeah.
Whether or not he was a part of it at that point or not, who knows.
Right, but yeah, like pre-South Park.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, it added to that sort
way,
of like...
Way pre-South Park.
Yeah, way pre-South Park. But it did, like it added to that like blaxploitation kind of feel.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Very much of, it was very much a B-movie too, which which I enjoy. And it didn't, you know, sometimes B-movies try to be A-movies.
Yes,
This knew it was a B-movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, John Carpenter was very self-aware. He was like, all right, you know, this is not super low budget, but it's budget enough. You know, and we're going to have some fun with it. So it really, it's a very enjoyable movie. And it holds up well, even though the movie happened in a futuristic time.
Well,
21 years ago.
It holds up well if you're going in expecting cheesy B movie.
Right.
It doesn't hold up well if you're expecting serious sci-fi.
Well, of course. But I mean, when you see set in the future year of 1997, you go, okay, this is probably going to be cheesy. Like, you know, because near future movies tend to...
They go too far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They tend to go way too far. And,
well, they go too far in some aspects, but not far enough in other aspects. So, like, the world has evolved way too much.
Yeah.
But technology
has not evolved,
is
really
evolved
far,
like, 5 years.
Yeah.
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 But then again, it was going on the more standard timeline of technology growth, whereas we have gone into at a just explosive rate, you know, almost exponential rate of advance in technology.
Right, and this is also our second movie in a row that appeared in perpetual night. Like, I'm not sure how all 24 hours of this movie occurred in the dark, but it managed.
Yeah, yeah. Now that you mention it.
Yeah, you had 22 hours, and it was night the whole fucking time.
Well, he was incapacitated for some time.
The six-hour days.
I don't know.
And I never noticed it until the end. I'm like, this movie occurs entirely in the dark. All 24 hours of it.
I guess it was just, you know, the poles shifted in 1989.
Forget that.
New York is obviously on, you know, in the Arctic Circle where you have 24-hour days.
Yeah.
Or 24-hour nights in the winter and 24-hour days in the summer. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is...
Yes, so
we need to watch a movie with some daylight next time.
Damn it.
I know.
That limits my freaking... Yeah.
but like I said, I mean, it for a B-movie, it really holds up well.
Uh-huh.
This really is like peak Kirk Russell.
Yes, yes.
And like I said, the ensemble cast is good. It's fun to watch.
Uh-huh.
It's got a little bit of action. I still want to know what those random zombies were at the beginning. Remember when he's running? Like,
yeah.
Where he randomly, like, the girl that's coming onto him, he just sacrifices to the zombies and gets the fuck out of
there. Those were the, like, underground mutants or whatever. They go over it in the briefing.
Yeah.
They come out at night. So he got there right at the beginning of night. So they laid that groundwork where, okay, he's there right at the beginning of night. So it can be night for the entire movie.
All 24 hours of it.
So if they'd have just gone with, like, okay, it's winter, 12-hour time frame, because they did skip time.
Right, right.
So
they could have done with a
12-hour clock, but I'm sure some executive somewhere was like, oh, 12 hours isn't
that's not long enough to rescue the president in 1997?
That's,
what do you know?
That can't be done. So let's make it more realistic and extend it out to 24 hours. And they're like, but it's still dark. We don't care.
Yeah. Semantics.
Semantics. the continuity guy that is obviously always, you know, hired for B movies.
Oh yeah. Yeah. B movies probably continuity.
Probably had fits with that one.
But I want more info on the mutants because mm-hmm. I'm sure they didn't go away. Like,
no, they just go back underground or they came up to eat.
Yeah, it's weird.
So
yeah.
They like come up and eat people and then go back underground after they get their meal, I guess.
Okay.
So yeah. Doesn't
make sense.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Super weird.
Yeah.
But like I said, I mean, some odd B-movie style plot holes, which are more enjoyable than nitpicky as
well. Yeah.
It was a good movie, and it's one of my favorites from like that 80s genre.
Mm-hmm.
I said I'm not a huge John Carpenter guy, but
yeah.
Because what else did he do other than
Halloween?
He did
vampires.
Because he didn't do like Hellraiser, did he?
No, that was Clive Barker.
Okay, that was Clive Barker.
Yeah. All those movies that are John Carpenter's whatever, those are all John Carpenter. Yeah.
Nice. He has that, M. Night Shyamalan has that John Carpenter trait where I just have to put my name in front of all my films so people will know in advance
that
I did them.
As opposed to Stephen King, who would probably prefer his name was not on some of those.
I know, right? It's about one of the best Stephen King movies was like a Rick and Morty episode.
No, it was Shawshank.
Oh, yeah. Shawshank was excellent.
Or the Green Mile isn't bad. Yeah. They aren't the horror movies, though.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Carrie was okay.
Yeah. I haven't seen the new It, so I don't know.
I haven't either. I was kind of waiting for the other half of it to come out.
Yeah.
So I could just watch it all together.
You said It. Referring to It.
The other half of it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You said It referring to It as it with a pronoun.
I did. Yeah.
Wow. It happens and nobody ever catches it.
No.
Until they listen to this podcast. And then every time they go,
that.
And they point at the person and the person doesn't get it because they haven't listened to this podcast because nobody listens to this podcast.
No, but we still make them.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Is it?
Sure. I enjoy it. Dude, I look at this like I look at playing Cards Against Humanity. I'm in this to entertain myself.
Like, gives us 30 minutes to get together and shoot the shit on a schedule.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, scheduled shit shooting.
We can weasel out of it a little bit here and there, but for the most part, we're going to get together and shoot the shit for half an hour.
Yeah.
Well, Joe looks at his phone and tries to figure out what else John Carpenter did.
They did. Oh, no. He did one of my favorite movies, They Live.
Oh, okay.
The Rowdy Piper movie. Yeah.
Put on the glasses and you can see all the aliens.
Yes. Movie. Yes. Yeah. The one where he came to chew bubblegum and kick ass and he ran out of bubblegum about halfway through the movie. So he just started kicking ass.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. They Live was a terrible film. It was awesome. I like John Carpenter. I like him even more.
in his awesome awfulness.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's just above, like, shit director.
Yeah.
What is it? Uwe Boll? Is that the guy?
Uwe Boll, yeah.
Uwe Boll that makes just the god-awful movies?
Yes, yeah.
He's too bad.
Yes.
Whereas John Carpenter's just got enough, like, camp and cheesiness.
Uwe Boll, or Boll, or Bolle, or however it's pronounced. You have to keep the license going on this video game.
Yeah.
Didn't he make the awful Fantastic Four movie that never got released too?
Yes, I think he did.
Yeah. We're not really sure. We're thinking we're probably not even going to release this thing, but we have to make a movie to keep the license alive.
Right.
He's your director. And then they end up, you know, it goes straight to DVD or whatever, but yeah, it's awful, awful badness. And
yes.
Then, yeah. Occasionally it goes to theaters like Blood Rain.
God, and that's so disappointing because I loved that video game.
Yes.
It had such potential.
And then they push it to the theaters on the, it's a pretty girl vampire. Let's try to get some Underworld money.
God, and he did a Far Cry movie too, which is such a shame. And what's even worse is like it had like
Far Cry from a good movie.
Hey. It had a Till Schweiger as like the protagonist, and Till Schweiger's a good actor.
Sure, those are words.
Yeah, actually, speaking of video games,
dun, dun, dun.
I mean, you can't talk about Escape from LA and Snake Plissken without talking about Metal Gear.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
The whole Metal Gear series, Solid Snake,
yes.
is so obviously Snake Plissken that
in his army days.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
With Snake Plissken in his army days, so much to the point where
he has the eye patch and everything.
That in like the third or fourth game, he goes with the alias of Plissken.
Does he?
Yeah.
Nice.
Like for three-fourths of the game to, you know, while he's concealing his identity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool how...
The Japanese video game makers took this movie.
This seems like a movie that would kind of be big in Japan, though. Like it's... I don't know. They kind of have this thing for campy, campy B-movies.
Saying it's better if you don't understand what they're saying and you just kind of get subtitles.
Yeah. Well, the dialogue's not that bad.
Yeah.
But this seems like
it's like, there's American movies that flop here, but
huge
in China.
Yeah.
Like Warcraft.
Yeah. Yeah. Warcraft was terrible.
Yeah.
It's a terrible film. Nobody should ever see it. Playing Warcraft like 6 years ago.
But it was not made for this audience.
No.
It was made for the Asian audience, and the Asian audience
just ate it up
because it was geared for them.
Yeah.
It was, and in the West, we see it as an awful movie, and there they see it as exactly what they wanted.
Yeah.
And
Well, I mean, there's something to be said for, I mean, I guess every culture has their, like, taste in, like, big budget kind of bad quote-unquote movies, because things that did surprisingly well, like Battleship and Rampage.
That did well.
Rampage was number one at the box office this week.
Well, all of the good movies are coming out in the next, like, month.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is the time of year when you release all your shit, because you're in that, like, you're in the taint.
Yeah.
Between, like, Oscar season, when you release your legitimately good movies.
Well, we are...
And blockbuster season, which starts the day Avengers comes out.
We've got Deadpool 2, Avengers, and Solo coming out back to back to back.
Yeah.
There's, like...
And the week before that,
but
Super Troopers 2.
Yeah.
Don't sleep on it. It's gonna be a great movie.
But, yeah, and... Does Avengers come out first, or does Deadpool?
I think Avengers comes out first.
Yeah, but yeah,
Avengers comes out.
And like, I know they spaced out
in 2 weeks.
They changed the release date on Avengers to space out with Solo a little better.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm going to be spending a lot of money at the movie theater.
Yes.
And I regret none of it.
And most of it's going to popcorn and drinks.
Hell no. Dude, I will wear fucking baggy shorts and load my shit up. And
yes, I'll carry a purse. No, you can't look in it.
I'm looking in my purse. I got man business in there.
No, there's not a six pack of Coke in there.
Coors Light. I ain't drinking Coors Light in your movie theater. Drinking Coors Light outside your movie theater. But no, but this is like the time of year where you release your bad movies.
Yeah.
It's where a lot of rock movies come out.
Huh.
Yeah, I know.
Wonder,
I'm spending all this money on The Rock.
I wonder how that works out,
yeah. No coincidence, two rock movies have come out in the past month.
Yeah.
Fuck it, or 2 months.
Yeah.
But
and they're both fun romps that don't think about too much, basically. No. Yeah.
Yeah, because I saw the trailer for Rampage, I think, during Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh my god. And I may have been the only person who thought this or remembered, because I'm old, that, oh my god, they made this terrible arcade game into a fucking movie. How in the fuck did they manage
that? By terrible arcade game, you mean one of the best arcade games ever made.
For the time, yeah, it was. It was pretty great.
Fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I had it on PC.
I mean, remember it when it came out for, like, Nintendo.
Yeah.
And it was not as fun.
Well, and the arcade version was far superior to the Super Nintendo
version.
Yeah,
see, and that's what I remember. Yeah. It was just the Super Nintendo version.
Yeah. I had it on PC, you know, in CGA graphics, so three colors. But, you know, it was one of the more fun games. And there was a...
3-inch floppy or 5 1/4?
I had it on 3.5.
Oh, okay.
Somebody posted a picture of a 5 1/4 for Commodore 64.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had the same logo and everything,
right.
But I had it on 3.5. and there was a glitch in the game where, well, A, you could randomly fall through the ground and end up here, and you were just kind of screwed because you just couldn't do anything. But also, if somebody, you know, if somebody fell out of the building, you go eat them.
Yeah.
And it restores your energy. If you, there was a certain spot on the ground that if you ate a person there at that exact spot, you could just keep going back to the same spot and eating him over and over and over. And you just kept refilling your health.
Poor guy. That scene needed to be in the movie.
Yes.
There's just one guy who just constantly keeps getting eaten.
Well, I don't know how many people realized that glitch existed, but you know, for my copy, at least on my PC, I did that. And basically it's your freaking God mode, because as long as you can get back to that spot, you can refill your health.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that needed to be in the movie. There's just one guy who just keeps getting eaten over and over again in the same spot. They don't tell you anything about it. Yeah. No, you need to go all out. Like, you need to put the Wilhelm scream in it. Like, every time he gets eaten, just... Or whatever the fucking Wilhelm, you know what I mean. Yes. But, yeah, it's just the same guy. Like, The hell? Didn't that guy already get eaten? I got ate again. Yeah, 27 times. This is going back to like Metal Gear, because Metal Gear really was the, like, to me, Metal Gear was kind of the game that solidified PlayStation as a like legitimate platform where it's going to, like, this is our big version, it was really their, you know, answer to some of the stuff that like Rare was doing at the time. It was, you know, this was our legitimate...
Donkey Kong Country and
not,
stuff like that.
Better than that. But
Donkey Kong Country was fucking great. Amazing.
Yeah, but it was a different style of game. Like, it was their counter to, like, GoldenEye.
Right.
You know, those kinds of games where it was, hey, PlayStation is legit. Like, this is going to be our, you know, what kind of God of War became and some other things that, you know, this is... PlayStation has arrived. This is our big budget game. Yet I don't know if anybody realized that they just took a character from this movie and just said, well, let's do The Adventures of Snake Plissken, from, you know, which is a much worse title than Metal Gear Solid.
Solid, yeah.
A solid title for the name of this episode.
Where we're talking about something completely different.
Yeah. But like I said, it was kind of a cool concept. Let's just pull this random character out of the ether and just write stories about
and
it.
And let's make a prequel. Yeah, this is our fanfic.
Fanfiction. Or Snake Plissken fanfiction. Which, hey, it must work, dude. They've made like 8 of them. So.
And is the character codenamed Plissken in reference to the movie that occurred previously in the timeline of the video game? Or is it... in reference to the actual guy.
Maybe he just had a buddy named Plissken that died a long time ago.
Yeah.
Just trying to remember him.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're Plissken long enough, you become Plissken.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
If you wear his face. What? Have to wear his face.
Not wearing faces.
That's where it went too far?
Yeah, really? Now we got weird. See, we weren't weird, now we're weird.
We weren't
wearing faces.
We weren't weird.
Now we're wearing faces and stuff. But so what was your kind of overall impression of the movie?
We've pretty much covered it.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't go that deep.
Yeah.
The thing is,
don't expect major plot points.
God, no. It's not a huge kind of, you know, there's revolutionary thing.
Yeah, you know, it kind of shits on the geek character and makes him where he's, you know, the geek who will double cross anybody just to stay alive, kind of weaselly thing, but, you know.
Well, and I mean, and that's more...
But that's early 80s.
Right, you know. Yeah. I mean, that was the whole 80s just kind of shit on geek culture.
Yes.
And then they...
And we shit back.
Yeah. Then the 90s shitting back on them and making them all rich. So
there you go.
The geek empire did strike back.
Yes.
But, I don't know. I randomly, Ernest Borgnine was kind of a funny character.
Yeah.
Like,
as the cab driver.
I was looking, I was like, I know him. That's fucking Ernest Borgnine. What is he doing in this movie? Like,
keeping his SAG guard up to date.
I guess so, yeah. Like, I figure McHale's Navy was still in syndication somewhere. Like, he's got to be making money. That was a funny show.
He's like, fuck it.
See, that's...
Well, and he provided the one poignant moment, you know. Oh, Cabby's dead. Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's the one dramatic moment of the entire film.
They're like, we have to kill somebody, and it can't be one of the main characters.
Well, and then they
kill Ernest Borgnine.
Yeah. And, you know, they kill anybody else. It's like, yeah, whatever. But you kill the cabbie, and it's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Who cares about the cab driver? Like,
well, it lingered on him, and the music slowed down a little bit. So yeah. We all cared.
Slow. Yeah, that's what I want to hear is slow synth music. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it goes into modem.
Hitting the synth version of whammy bars. But I don't know. And I mean, I would love to get to that point in my career
where you could just say something shitty.
I'm going to do this because fuck it. Sounds like such a wonderfully bad idea. You know, that is really a good, like, that's like, shit, I cannot remember her name now. Crap, the old lady actress, Betty White, the foul-mouthed one,
Betty White.
Loris Kleachman.
Okay.
That's like Kleachman doing
Malcolm in the Middle.
Well, she did Malcolm in the Middle, but then she did, like, Beer Fest. Like, she was the perverted sexual great-grandmother in Beer Fest.
It's Cloris Leachman, by the way.
Yes, Cloris Leachman.
Keep your hate mail coming, because, you know, we'd like to hear from you. We don't hear from anybody.
Yeah, if you take time to send us a letter, we'll read it on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. If you pay for a stamp, send it to 555 Black Market Toast.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it would be cool to get to that, like, Cloris Leachman or just Borgnine stage. We're just like, you know what? I've won my Academy Award. I'm old. I'm famous. I'm just going to make some shitty movies.
Let's do something raunchy.
Yeah, I'm going to do some stuff strictly to entertain myself and make some money in the process.
And to horrify my grandchildren.
Yeah, if I'm Cloris Leachman's actual great-grandchildren, I want to see her fucking deep throwing the sausage on Beer Fest. Like, that's what I would
This is my genes. This is where I come from.
Yeah. You want to see how much of a blue blood I am? Look at this.
This gives me street cred.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah, my grandmother's Academy Award winner. She also deep-throated sausage in a movie.
Same movie? No.
No. No, definitely not. Different decades, different millennia.
Yes. Okay, well, I guess we've beaten that one enough. I guess, kind of. We touched on some Rampage and some Solid Snake.
I haven't even seen it. I'm just shitting on it without seeing it. Yes, because I'm not wasting 2.5 hours to watch The Rock and a giant CGI gorilla.
But I want to see the giant wolf. We have to see the giant wolf. Is that even in there?
It is in there.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it is.
And the giant lizard named Lizzie.
Yeah, is that the actual? I mean,
that was the name. That was the name in the game. Yeah,
I didn't know if they were going to keep that.
I don't know.
It's a giant lizard. What do we call it? Lizzie.
It must be a girl. Yeah.
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 Yeah. We're gonna assume the gender of this lizard.
Well, in theory, they're giant enough. You should be able to see the gender.
That's true.
I'm not sure exactly how to gender a lizard.
Me either.
But
I didn't major in.
But I'm guessing it'll be large enough where, you know, anyone who will be able to go, okay, that is that gender.
Oh, giant lizard dong. We know exactly what Lizzie is.
At least that biological sex, not necessarily gender. We don't know what they identify as.
Exactly.
Yes. So, anyway.
Terrible way to end it. So what do we
do next? I had bunch of different options pop in my head over the last day or so, especially with Harry Anderson passing. But we're not going to do a Night Court right now.
Yeah, too soon.
I considered it, but we're not going to do it. Let's go to Hulu, and we'll do Coupling, which is a British sitcom, which you know, kind of is seen as the
the spiritual predecessor.
Those are words. To Friends.
Okay.
But different because it's British, so they can be bawdier.
Right.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Yes.
Bawdy monkeys. Bawdier, and you know, and it's like 6-episode seasons, so you know, perfect. You'll probably watch them all. There's like 4 seasons.
Yeah.
So we will talk at y'all next time. I am at Woodle on Twitter, even though I don't use it.
Yeah, I'm that Joe you know on Instagram, which I use for dog pictures.
There you go. And we will actually talk at you next time. Okay.
Yay.
Yay!
Toast.